Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
What about that?
This is the Midweek Rush.
This one is good.
Triple M rocks footy.
Damo Knife in the house as we get stuck into the midweek rub. This is a Wednesday segment where we tell you everything that's going on in the AFL. Welcome to you, Knife.
Yeah, good to be here, Jim. Always great.
And Damo, hello, as always, Jim. Good to see you too. Now, we've got a situation with regard to the AFL and the Blues. Firstly, their player Dale Thomas and then their cheer squad around messaging to umpires. $7,500 for Dale Thomas.
I have no issue with that amount. I have no issue with him being fined. And I think AFL industry should just embrace the fact that what he said to an umpire, using the cheat word, is just a no-go zone from here on in. And if he has to be the scapegoat for that to be the case, well, so be it. I think he arguably might have got off a little bit light.
What about what Dangerfield said, that he should umpire some kids' games, go back to, I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
An umpire, boundary umpire, do some kids' games, go back to a country footy club or a suburban footy club.
Look, he could do that if he wants to, Bill. I reckon it's a bit of lip service when they go down that path at the expense of not having the expense with a sanction. I think a player missing a game of footy is the worst thing he can do with a sanctionable offence, and I think the second worst thing for a player is a heavy fine, which he's copped.
Well, so obviously the AFL, with the fines they've handed out in the last 2 weeks, fine, calling an umpire a cheat, deemed to be a worse offence than saying you sound like a girl. So how do you get $5,000 fine compared to a $7,500 fine? I don't get that. I would have thought if you're going to give a fine for something like that, for degrading language to either about a girl or to an umpire, it's probably the same amount, isn't it?
It's a fair point. I mean, you raised this with me off air a moment ago. I hadn't thought about it in that context, but I've thought about it since, Brownie. I reckon you raise a really good point, and maybe just make it a straight $10,000 fine for whatever, and you tell the player that you remove all context around the comment. Just don't say anything to do with cheating or sounding like a girl.
Fair enough. There's not a lot you can say anymore, but as a cheer squad member, if I was a fully paid up member of my cheer squad and I wanted to go, I believe that I should be able to, if I don't vilify somebody, if I don't say something wrong, and we all know what we can and can't say, if you want to go to the game and chant stuff about the umpire like that, which has happened in cricket for 100 years, it's going to happen for the next 100 years, you should be able to pay your money, go to the ground and yell out pretty much whatever you want, unless you are offending someone racially, about their religion, about who they are. I think that is, I don't think anybody can sanction what you can yell out at the field.
The only thing I'll say about that is I've always believed that just because you pay your attendance fee, it doesn't give you a right to do anything you want to do.
No, there's a line there, and you know what you can't cross, but they're talking about you can't call the umpire
a halfback flanker.
Hey, and do you think there's an issue with that? Do you think it's an issue if people have a chant like happened in the cricket for hundreds of years, haven't been around that long, but has happened at the cricket for a long time?
I don't like it. And what's wrong with trying to strive to actually be better than that?
I just think everybody's trying to control everything you do at the football, or everything you think, or everything you can and can't say. There's got to be an element of being a person.
But Damo, with regard to the Dale Thomas one, did the AFL preempt? Have they gone to the players and said, now, you know, we must have the umpire spoken to in a better manner? And I agree with that. I'm with you on this. Yep. I think we will get no one to umpire the game unless we start treating it with more respect. But was there a heads up, or were these two examples of the AFL to said, bugger it, we're throwing the kitchen sink at you?
If there was, Jim, I'm not aware of it. I haven't directly asked the question, but at the same time, I've had no one suggesting to me that that is the case. And what I do know, though, is there's been a bit of friction between the umpires and even the AFL. We saw that when Sean Ryan was given permission to speak about those free kicks on Anzac Day, but they had to request, and quite vigorously request, the right to do so, which was out of normal practice. So there's that as a backdrop to it. And I think the AFL has probably done the right thing in the last 2 weeks on these two moments we're talking about.
All right. So you two both played the game at the highest level a lot. Mm. Back in your day, Bill, especially, the whole white maggot thing was rife.
Yeah,
people just went to the footy and for 2 hours just abused the umpires.
So did the players.
The whole way through, and then so did the players. It got so bad that at one stage in your time, you actually were sanctioned for doing it, but the umpire had to turn around and say, are you talking to me?
You got one. You got one chance.
Yeah. I mean, that's
so
how bad it
got. So you'd say, you white maggot, you're da-da-da-da, and he'd say, are you talking to me?
No, I wasn't.
And you'd say, no. But what then you'd do, you get a player near the umpire and you go, you are the worst player. You make mistakes, and you yell at the player, meaning the umpire. But I'll tell you what also.
So do we need, do you both acknowledge that had to go? Well, like we have to get better behaviour on the field towards the umpires.
Like a lot of things back in our day, a lot of things had to improve. But what we did do after a game back in my day, early days, the players would, we'd have a drink with the opposition team, but the umpires would come in too, Jim.
Yep.
And you'd actually have a beer with the umpires and you go, actually, he's human. He's actually not a bad fella. Yep. And you get to know the umpires a little bit and you talk to them. Whereas now,
but Bill, the players have wrong to set the standard
with this, assuming they're human before you have a beer with them. What's wrong with just trying to be better from the outset?
But we didn't back then. Now it's changed. Back then we, I don't know why, we just didn't think they were human. They were umpires and everyone from, you know, supporters, everyone hung it on them. But I don't think we have enough connection with the umpires.
The players have to set the example, definitely, but I don't think you can expect the supporters to set the example.
Why don't umpires go down to training?
And
they do.
Yeah, they're doing that more than not.
But
more
do they
often
get down amongst the players and
they umpire the match, Sim.
Actually,
they...
I heard Razor Ray today on SEN. This was very good. He was on there. It was actually, one, good to hear from him. Mm-hmm. But two, he said, there's no way I can think about cheating when I'm umpire. I'm thinking about the decision. Did he drop it? Did he get rid of it? And then, you know, free to Gold Coast Suns. Then where are we going next?
Oh,
he
course.
Said there's not one stage do I think about how I could.
But no one, has anyone ever thought an umpire is at the highest level has cheated?
At the time.
Really?
You say no. Stupid things
but do you
like
not,
that.
Do you honestly think a teammate of yours or yours, Brownie, has ever thought deep down someone cheated?
No, but you say that. You just, it comes out. Yeah. When you're in the heat of the moment, you say some stupid things.
Everyone makes mistakes.
Dale Thomas, the same. He just said it was stupid.
Yeah.
And when you sit back and you think, you go, no, they don't cheat. Of course they don't cheat. But at the time, you just say, tell me what Rampy was thinking when he ran up the post. Mm. You do stupid things in the heat of the moment.
But Damo, the mistake to mistake ratio from Carlton to the umpires is 10 to 1. Isn't it? If you watch a quarter of Carlton play footy, making 10 more mistakes a minute than the umpires
you're
are
probably
making.
Being a bit lenient on what they actually are doing. It might be 15 or 20.
They do a bloody good job. I love the fact that less free kicks are being paid, Nate. Exactly. For me, that makes the game so much better to watch.
The ducking into a contest one, they've got that 100% right. Players ducking in, not being paid for a too high free kick, which is great.
I think the umpiring, Damo, is as good as it's ever been in the game at the moment.
Really?
Yep, I honestly do. I reckon they're starting to get it right. Right.
And in the past 3 weeks.
Yep, I reckon. I love the fact that less are being paid. Yeah, I love the fact that what Nave said, players who are trying to drag freeze are being told on the ground to stop doing it. I love it.
But what you,
more of it.
What you would like to see is after the game, we just got that one wrong.
Well, they do that.
No, they don't.
Maybe not enough.
No,
they don't often say
but
they got
if
one
they
wrong.
Just come out and said, look, sorry about the free kick 23rd minute, third quarter. We got that one wrong. We go, okay, that's fine.
Starting to see some injury pile into our game, Purple, and big injury too, Dev Smith being one who's we hear mightn't play for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it does look that way now. They've admitted to it being an eight-week injury, and the added concern is a pre-existing knee condition, which they may well and almost seemingly certainly will treat now. So it does look that way as we speak, Jim, that he's done for 2019.
Ben McAvoy also 6 weeks.
Big boy.
Yeah. Yeah, got
that's going to hurt him
during the weekend.
Ankle syndesmosis.
Well, he got a tackle, went right underneath his body.
Well, he got a big Segler to come in. He's a very good player, Segler. But so obviously you need McAvoy.
He's
He's the best ruckman that goes forward and can kick goals.
What about I see Buddy may not play again. That's been and Mason Cox. They've gone on for a week.
Have now. Yeah, John Longmire hasn't yet declared Buddy right, has he, for the Friday night game? So I'd imagine he's obviously still in some doubt. It's already been 4 weeks, Bill. It was meant to be one.
And Cox.
Yeah, it's lingering, isn't it? Because that was actually meant to be a 1 week injury at the time as well. It's been three, I think. Yeah, three.
Three.
Yep.
And that Friday night game, no Langdon, no Darcy Moore. So they've been good Collingwood, by the way.
Yeah.
But they will have a few out. Hey, Steve Hocking. Speaking of the AFL footy boss, do we hear enough from him? He's about to speak to the media for just the second time in the first 10 weeks of this season.
He's about
should
to
it
do
be
that
more
today? Is he on the back of the competition committee meeting? They're all at AFL House today.
What is that meeting?
It's just their, two or three times a year meeting with all the representations of coaches, players, chief executives, presidents, chair people. So they're all, there's about 20 people, I think, in the room today just to work out where the game's going, what is happening. It might be a reflection, Jim, on how they've changed the interpretations of certain rules.
I love when he speaks.
Personally, I'd love to hear more from Stephen Hocking.
Yep.
For you, I love the way, like you were just about to say, he speaks. He's strong. He gets to the point. There's no fluffing around. So when he says something, you actually believe it.
You do.
And I'd love to hear from him maybe every third week or something like that, just to clear up all the questions that are going on about the game, because he's a very strong voice.
That's how he played. Straight ahead.
You were scared of him.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yes.
You certainly were, because this is what you used to do. You'd bring jumpers down. and try and get the boys to sign them, put them in the boot to help you get a little more at the cashish.
I agree with that.
And Hock used to bust you, and he'd go, "Oi, you."
No, he'd look. He wouldn't even say that. He's got these blue eyes. They pierce through you, and he'd look at you, and you'd just put your head down and go out the back and just have to wait out in the car park till the boys walked out. Mate, he did. He'd scare you. But you would like to hear from
like
more.
Like a nuffy.
Sell him at the... Oh, did all right. Hey, after this... Nate's got a,
I can't believe this. I don't believe it.
A lot of A graders there.
He went off in the holster.
Yes.
That's what he did.
And
he went out with something that I'm not sure he can back up.
No, well, I can back it up. Don't you worry.
All right. What is he going to say, please, Rabjay?
He reckons there's 12 All-Australian, potential Australians in Carlton's list.
I found another one. I got 13.
13!
Oh. This is the Midweek Rub.
The chance is up.
Triple M rocks footy.
Nath Brown's in, as is Damien Barrett, of course, for your Midweek Rub. All the big topics are struck. Now, Nath, on the way in, you said to us that you thought, well, you put 12 as the number.
I found another one.
Of Carlton players who are potential All-Australians.
Well, this is on the back of where they've been drafted, the talent that they have in their bodies at the moment, and based on where other people have been drafted and gone on to play All-Australian football.
Right.
So it's all about talent, and then it paints a picture about where Carlton are. And you know, I've been bullish on Carlton for a while now, Damo.
You
and
have.
I've been very defensive of Brendan Bolton and where they're going. But when you
are
look,
you still?
I'm bullish about their playing list, but Carlton potential.
Before you start, 13 is an extraordinarily large number,
well,
Nathan.
I didn't ask you to jump in before I started. So.
I'm just setting this up for you to now justify
so
this number of 13.
And I've taken out the seasoned players in Cripps, Cruiser, Thomas Doherty.
Oh, you've taken them out.
Who could possibly? These are young players who, in time.
So there's 18.
So you tell me out of these players who, where they've been drafted, the talent they've had, in time when they're good players and Carlton are playing well, could be all Australian.
Righto.
Now, you've got Charlie Curnow.
Yes.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. Paddy Dow?
Not yet.
No.
Yes, I'll
but
give
in
that.
The future, Damo.
No, not
take
yet.
Take your glasses off and open your eyes.
No, not yet.
You can't say
just because he went three or four in the draft.
Well, this is on potential in the future.
These are future
They're not
going to
be all Australian this year.
Righto, no, I'll
you
give
didn't
you
think I said this year, did you?
Well, I think you did. Now you've beep, beep, beep. Righto.
I didn't say this year. So you got Fisher?
Not yet.
Marchbank?
No.
McGovern?
Yes.
No. That's Mitch McGovern, Jim.
I know. Marchbank and McGovern, I think,
McKay.
Are potential.
McKay.
I'll give you McKay.
Yeah.
Big Harry.
O'Brien.
Not yet.
No.
Damo. It's
not okay.
Not yet.
No.
Listen to what I'm saying. They're not going to be all Australian this year, but they could be in 3 or 4 years' time.
No.
Okay. Petrevsky Seaton.
No.
Yes.
Setterfield.
Definitely no.
Can't wear 43.
Walsh.
Yes.
Wiedering.
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes.
Wiedering will never be all Australian.
No. I'm saying yes.
No.
Plowman?
No.
No.
Definitely no.
Stocker?
No.
They're the potential.
So you got three.
All Australians. That's 13. Brisbane have only got 8. So you'd have to think, where are they at the moment? They've got that. Let's. Okay. You guys, anywhere from 8 to 13, you guys nodded and said yes.
No more lists for you.
Some extraordinary talent on this list. So you got to wonder why they are where they are at the moment, being 18th in the
ladder. I'm giving you 8 of them out of the 13.
Which is still a lot.
Yeah, it is still a lot. Potential players who could potentially be all
on the top of Cripps, Cruiser, Thomas Doherty. So you start to think, well, do they need the change at the top? And I've been a big supporter of Brendan Bolton, but at the moment, being an ex-Blue supporter, I get a bit frustrated.
No more lists for you. I got one. Essendon Footy Club.
I didn't mind it, Nath. Yes.
Essendon Footy Club.
Is it a list?
Well, it's nearly is.
Okay.
The back line, right? Tell me this. I'm going to go through their side. The back line, 2 All-Australians, Hurley and Hooker. Very, very good players.
Yes.
Then you got great run from McKenna and Saad.
Yes.
And throw in Andy McGrath if you want to.
He's very good player.
Very good
nice mix.
It's a very good back line.
Yeah. They're all Australian.
Well, not
this
all.
Year?
No, I'm not going with the All-Australian.
Granny, let it go.
I'll go with the midfield. All-Australians. Shield. Zach Merritt, Dyson Heppel, all Australians, and throw in Zaha Arkas. Nice midfield.
Nice midfield.
Yep. Forward line, Joe Danaher, who hasn't played all this year.
But lots of talent.
Yeah. Jake Stringer's up there. They're both all Australians.
He's going well. Yep.
Tip and Woody, Fantasia. Devin Smith has played all this year so far. I realise he's not out. Then we'll throw in some good kids. That Redmond's a very good player.
Yep.
Francis, Ambrose. The bloke who dyed his hair.
Guelphy.
The Guelph.
So that's 15.
So what's your point, Bill?
Well, tell me why they're only 4 and 5.
That's just what I just did.
No, tell me why they're 4 and 5 and only just going. Tell me that.
Because they can't kick the footy, Bill. Their skill level isn't up to AFL standard. A lot of those players are good, but a lot of those players can't deliver the football to AFL standard.
And they don't get enough goals out of their midfield, Bill.
Righto.
That's what I wanted. That's hence I threw it up.
Damo.
Hence.
This is where, when we have forensically looked at Essendon before, and our man, the Bogan, who used to work here, he gets as headless as anyone because he's just a Bogan Essendon supporter.
Ronnie. Yeah.
The farm is sold. Yeah, forget about keeping some paddocks. They've sold the whole lot. Well, and it was a bloody big, fertile farm too.
They've recruited well, though, Jim, and those guys actually have performed. Stringer, Saad, Smith.
Purple, that's not my point. My point is,
what's your point?
They've got no first-round picks the last two, and they've got none in the one coming up because they've gone and got these
with
players.
Shield, yeah.
So that's three straight drafts of not having a first-round draft pick. So the ones they've recruited and want to get the job done, because that's 3 years of none of the elite talent in the comp coming into your club. That would be the worry for me on the back of what Bill's talking about.
Yeah.
If they were 7-2 right now, you'd say, righto, I still need to be convinced, but pretty happy with the strategy. But at the moment, if you're an Essendon person, are you happy with that strategy?
Not, as you say, after nine rounds of them being 4-5 and with clear big question marks now, do they actually even make the finals?
And they've got the talent, so I'd be advising go out and get the best skill level operator in the business. Find out who is the best of that department, who is going to take us from a 4 out of 10 to an 8 out of 10 and pay them whatever they're worth.
Hey, Carlton Footy Club, speaking of them, they've got 27 All-Australians apparently coming up.
Yes.
Now, they had a team meeting the other day, and then Cripps and Doherty got up and they said, coaches, out.
Out.
And it was only the players. Very direct player-to-player feedback, I'm told. Very direct.
Leading team style.
Eyeballing.
Eyeballing, exactly. But only the players, no coaches. So you could say whatever you wanted about a coach.
Melbourne had one of them earlier in the year too, didn't they? I think they had an honesty session.
But did they have the coach involved?
This
is one where you could say about the coach if you didn't like him.
Oh, hello.
Like, and what they're doing.
Are you saying that's what happened?
I don't know, but without the coach being in there, it gives them a chance to say.
I like it, Bill.
Yes.
I know North used to do it. Kangaroo Court, they used to have it, you know, when they needed to. Blokes needed to eyeball each other. I like it.
Yeah.
Because it's all very well when the coach, Nave, tells you what, you know, a bit like your boss.
Yeah.
But when you actually get eyeballed by the people you work with.
Your mate.
And he's your mate and he goes, that's not good enough.
Spot on.
It resonates.
And Sam Walsh, in his first year, might say something. You know, and you go, oh, hang on. Hello? That's good. You'd like to hear from the younger players, don't you?
They had a form of crisis meeting after North Melbourne in round 7, Bill. They then played okay against Collingwood the next week. And then in round 9, which makes it 2 out of the past 3 weeks, they've had some form of outside the normal meeting, which makes me concerned what happens if they then lose badly again to St Kilda on the Sunday. What's the next step, Jim? What do you do then?
Let's hope they don't for that exact reason. Hey, I saw on the AFL website, all of the Indigenous jumpers. What a great thing that's
How
become.
How good do they look?
Brilliant. Yeah. In fact, the North Melbourne Indigenous jumper looks a hell of a lot better than the away strip they're wearing this year with that stupid kangaroo.
Yeah.
So I love all of them. I reckon they all look brilliant.
I agree, Jim. And I'd encourage people to have a look before the round of footy starts. My personal favourites out of this year's batch is the Carlton and Collingwood ones.
Yeah,
but it's obviously in the eye of the beholder, and I'm no fashionista, as you know.
I'm just surprised the AFL's found some room other than Damo to put anything anywhere because you are over everything at the moment. You walk in there and
still billboards of you.
You frighten everybody.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's fair call, Brent.
Even the AFL CEO a couple of weeks ago on the Saturday Rub admitted that there was overkill
when
it came to the glasses. He couldn't work it out.
No.
And he runs the joint.
I think they've defaced that billboard at Nepean Highway too, Jim.
Oh, no.
We wouldn't recommend that, but go for it.
Simon Goodwin, tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, look, I haven't seen it. I've had a few journos refer to the fact that he stopped a press conference short today when he was short of breath, feeling dizzy, feeling faint. We've got the replacement for him, Bill. It was Troy Chaplin who stood in for him at short notice and gave an explanation as to what happened.
How's the coach? Are you going to be right for the weekend?
Oh, look, he's just catching up with the doctor now. He just said he was feeling a little bit lightheaded, so we expect him to coach this week. So, yeah, a little bit of a shock, stand-in coach. So, interesting.
You're not preparing to take over the reins or anything like that?
Wouldn't have thought so. We'll leave that to the other coaches. As a group, we'll just collectively look after today and, good, he'll be fine.
Always a worry, though, isn't it? Yes. When something like that does happen. And again, the Melbourne Footy Club has been at pains to say to anyone who's asked the question, is he okay? They're saying yes, and he will coach. But, not ideal.
Yeah.
First time I've caught up with you, Nath, since Friday night at Judd Central.
Yes.
Now, Purple gave us quite a sanitised description of what happened.
One of the great nights. One of the great nights where Greg Williams, who is, let's be honest, he's if not in the top three players of all time, he'd be in the top five comfortably. And he was talking about the two Brownlows and the Norm Smith medal and his Lee Matthews trophy, which the judge quite clearly is won. But the thing that amazed me was when Diesel said, Chris, now, no disrespect here, but imagine if I had your pace and I had your athletic ability. And I would not have lost the Brownlow medal the entire time I played. And he goes, and conversely, Juddy, he goes, if you were gifted what I had in my body, he goes, you wouldn't have played park football at all.
And he's clearly let go of that 40 possession game too, where he didn't pop.
Absolutely not.
He's been able to move past that one.
Yeah, it might have been a bit of a fall for Diesel down the stairs at the end of the night, where a little bit of wine, whenever, I think it was the last bit of the Grange that we hadn't taken part of yet, but
the Diesel.
Yeah,
there was a noise. I didn't know what it was, Brownie. Was
Duke
it?
Left early. He's never been a team man, the Duke.
And if you made the mistake of leaving early, as Duke did, as Howie did, was anyone else who left early? Diesel then gave them a phone call on the way home to remind them that they weren't that
good. Last time Duke left early, he had a big blow up with Dr. Rowan White. I don't know how you blow up with Dr. Rowan White.
Oh, nice, world's nicest man.
They stormed out. An eyeball session to each other where Duke stormed out.
The Duke of Wellness.
He might have got an invoice. Didn't want to pay it. I tell you what, Josh Kay, is it, from Channel 7, just put up a nice little stat there, because everyone was interested that the big Ivan Soldo got upheld. He's got the week. He was stiff, everyone's saying.
Well, he's not a Brownlow medalist, so they upheld this one.
Just wait. Career Brownlow votes. Ablett, 248. Fife, 141. Soldo, 0.
There you go.
That'll do it pretty much every time. That. There is. Hey, nice to see you too.
What's happened to your eye, Jim?
Yeah, I don't know. Pink eye.
I think I've got a little bit of pink eye. I don't know what happened to it, actually. I might have poked it in the middle of the night without realising, because it's not good.
Make sure you fix that before boxing tomorrow morning.
Otherwise, I'll get two of them.
Splurting over to my eye.
Actually, will. Nice to see you. Nice to see you, too, Purple.
I'll see you, Don.